I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, it's Mark from Guitar Nerds here with a quick message before we get started on the podcast week about Patreon. Patreon.com/Guitar Nerds is the place where you can contribute to the Guitar Nerds podcast and get a little extra content in return. What it actually allows you to do is we've got various kind of sign up tiers there, but from $5 a month you can sign up for Patreon, get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week, and it gives you access to the previous episodes as well. So we've got about kind of 35-40 hours worth of stuff on there. From $5 a month you get access to all that, and Patreon now give you an RSS feed. Now RSS feed might to make any sense for me saying it, do go and Google it and you'll learn more. RSS is a cool thing that you should know about. What it means is that your Patreon episodes can now be downloaded in your favorite podcast player. So if you use Apple's podcast app, or if you use Downcast, or I don't know, there's other loads of other loads of other podcasting programs out there, you can listen to the Patreon episodes now in that program, which is awesome, because before you would have to go to the Patreon site or get the Patreon app, which is a bit clunky and rubbish. But now you can do it in whatever you listen to the regular podcast in. So patreon.com/guitar nerds. This week we are answering loads of questions. We had loads of questions sent in, so we have got questions from we've got questions from Andy about reverb pedals, we've got questions from James about Velcro, a question from Damien about using reverb in a gigging situation, question from Matt about why you never see Music Man guitars in stores, and a question from Robin about the Boss ESA and sending MIDI. So do check it out, patreon.com/guitar nerds. It's not much money and you get loads of stuff. Cheers. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Jay Cross.
Hello.
Hello. We're using some new sound equipment tonight, so if it sounds a bit weird for the opening part of this, that'll be why. I'm just trying to get it sorted. It's going to be all good though.
I didn't know about the new stuff.
Yeah. We're using a Native Instruments? No, IK Multimedia iRig Pro Duo.
Yeah.
To capture the podcast, and it's neat. It's a nice little
moving away from the Avid box.
Yeah, the Avid box is now. I bought a new desk. Like, this is going to be really nerdy, okay. But I bought a new, like, not like a mixing desk, but just like a nice workstation desk. And the box that we usually use to record is now housing the Avid M box that we were recording with this.
Yes.
And now we've got the iRig Pro Duo. But it also means that the podcast is a bit more mobile as well. Like, if we ever wanted to go out somewhere, this box is a bit smaller and you can kind of fit the whole podcasting rig. Despite this mess of cables, you can see if you're watching live on ampli.fi/guitar nerds, this will all fit into a bag now, so we can go and do podcasts from elsewhere.
I mean, we could probably Velcro that to Stag UPC 424.
A pedal board,
the smallest pedal board, and we could that could be our new podcast rig.
Yeah, definitely. Just little podcast set up all in a Stag box.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us this evening, by the way, whether you're listening to the podcast or whether you're joining us live on Amplify. Always good. We can see how many people are joining us on Amplify. Always cool to have you guys there. If you want to join in the chat, you can. Jay is in the chat as always. It's weird to be doing a podcast with other people.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't count Joe as a person, no. Really.
Well, I was just thinking, actually, this is quite a nice setup.
It's really good.
Us two, like, we've got a little bit more room.
Yep.
We can put a cup of tea here. Yep. There's no chance of Joe, like, struggling to open a beer halfway through the podcast or anything like
no.
that.
No.
And he's got a nice little cup of tea.
And we've got, you know, Matt knows a lot about stuff.
Yeah.
I can talk.
Yeah.
And Jay's here for
and I'm the nice one.
You're the funny stuff and
yeah.
that. And, yeah, maybe we don't need Joe anymore.
Who?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
I don't know. Who? Can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway. So, last week, thanks for listening to the podcast last week. If you did, it was me on my own. And people that were watching live had loads of input and we had loads of questions into the Facebook group and stuff. So, managed to get through a whole hour and 10 or something.
That's cool.
On my own, which was good.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I do apologise.
No, well, you know.
You joined the solo podcast club.
Yeah. So, first one I've done on my own. You did a solo podcast for the Patreon, yes. Which I have to advise people to go. I said this last week, but do go and listen to Matt's Patreon episode. It's really cool. It's the first time we've had actual guitar playing on the podcast.
Yes.
And it worked really, really well. So I think we're going to be doing more of that in the future.
I was actually amazed when I listened to it back. I was like, oh, it actually sounded really good.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I should record more guitar. And then I was like, nah. It wasn't actually that much hassle at all. Redbox sounded really, really good, actually, through a pedal board. Yeah, sounded ace. I was thoroughly... so impressed.
Yeah,
I thought actually kind of put it to practical use for a change.
I thought it sounded very good. I thought, worth signing up for. Just a quick plug, actually. Loads of you signed up for the Patreon on the Patreon page. Thanks so much for doing so. For people who haven't signed up, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where you get to hear Matty's episode last week. And you get two extra hours of Guitar Nerds content a month.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, there's about 40 hours worth of stuff on there that you can go back and listen to if you sign up now. So, we're going to leave all that stuff up there always.
Is that just
Patreon stuff?
It's mad, isn't it?
Well, because we're up to episode 75. So, yeah, it's just under. And then we do half an hour extra every week. And then we did the 2 hour Spinal Tap.
100, 102, 100 and... It's like nearly a week.
Yeah, it's a long time. So it's kind of like...
A week's a long time in podcasts.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is.
That's what they say.
And it was a long week without you two.
Without...
You two.
You two.
Yeah, it was a long week without you two. No, without you guys.
Yes.
Shall we do a quick recap of what you've been up to? Matt, you've been away.
Yeah.
Been doing...
firstly, though, little bit of... The quest continues. This came up in the post for me. For people who can see it in Ampli.fi, for those who can't, it's another Dan Electro pedal. This is the mini amp / distortion.
I thought that was the hardest one to get.
Yeah, well, someone found it for me.
Amazing.
And they managed to get a deal at their local guitar shop, and they sent it to me in the post. So thanks very much for that. It's... the worst thing I've ever I'm not actually sure if it might be broken. Like, okay. I can hear an amp in there, but then I could also hear a distortion circuit on top. And yeah, I think it's got you won't be able to see, obviously, if you're not watching live, but there's an input and an output.
So you can use it as a regular distortion.
You can use it as a regular distortion pedal, and it also sounds equally as terrible.
Can you hardwire the speaker on so you can use it as a monitor if you like don't have a monitor in your at your show?
I think the idea was is that these used to come with a Dan Electro did two box sets when these came out in 1999 called The Summer of Love and Molten Metal, and each one of those was a pedal board, came with three or two pedals and the mini amps. The idea was that you could have five pedals and the mini amp. And then, yeah, you had basically a pedal board with a little amp on it that you could jam along at home.
If you if you plug an output jack in, does it disconnect the speaker?
I think so, yes. I didn't. Okay. I only had a brief amount of time to plug it in. I'm just having a look inside to see if there's anything like lodged in the speaker. But it's like a tiny speaker. It's probably like a 2-inch speaker. Basically the same as those little smoky amps, those ones made out of cigarette boxes. But what I find weird is the construction of the pedals is like a hard plastic, but the base is metal.
Yeah.
It's like, why not just make the whole thing out of metal, or make the base out of plastic and then just at least make the rest out of metal?
Yeah, very weird thing. We should mention that you've also come up with an ingenious way of displaying them.
Yes, on a little wooden pedal board by a company called Fossboards. So give a shout out to the guy who makes those. He basically makes pedal train sized pedal boards, but completely out of reclaimed wood. And they cost like 30 or 40 quid.
Oh, wow.
They don't come with bags or anything like that. And they just, he'll like paint them a fancy colour if you want. He etches the logo in with a wood burning tool. And I had one lying around, and I was like, oh, this fits exactly the right amount of pedals that's in this. In this little range of pedals. So I'm going to mount them on there with industrial Velcro, and then I'm going to put some brackets on it and mount it on the wall like some sort of funky display.
Are you going
Maybe I'll put some LEDs behind it.
Are you going to put a power supply on there and some patch leads?
Yeah, well, that's also a thing. It fits all of them on there, and there'll be room to plug them in and out. So you could, in theory, have some sort of weird modular Dan Electro display with this terrible speaker at the end of it.
Yes, sounds amazing. For people who haven't seen, if you go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, is that right? Yeah, Guitar Nerds Forum.
Yeah.
I thought that was the old one then.
It's forum, yeah.
And you can see Matt's picture. He's got the board, or he's got some pedals on the board already, and he's on the quest to complete it.
People have been helping me out and finding them for me. Moog in Brighton was going to swing by a shop and find one for me. Hans on the Facebook group sent me this, for people who can see it in the chat. This is the Dan Electro Black Paisley Liquid Metal Distortion, which actually sounds really good. it's got a switch for an octave on the back. So yeah, but these ones are the big ones. These are ones that are made out of solid metal.
Yes, they came out a little time after, I seem to remember. You had the mini pedals, and then after that,
wasn't
there a liquid blues as well, or something?
There was a blue Paisley, which was a lighter gain overdrive, and then the same series as like the Sitar Swami.
Yep.
The Free Speech, which is the talk box. I'm trying to find the names of the other people that. Yeah, so Tim Jennings is also said he'd send one into the, on the post for me, so thanks very much for that. And I can't find the name of the chap who sent me the other one, but let me have a look. Charlie sent me one in the post, and I think the guy's name's Mark. I'll double check. But
this is astonishing.
Big shout out to everyone that's helping me out on that.
Astonishing work from the Guitar Nerds community, I must say. Sending Matt pedals to complete the collection. We'll do a demo, but also I'm sure eventually when we do a live event, which I think is something that we have talked about in the past, you'll bring it along and people can see the full collection in the flesh.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And Matt's going to buy a drink for everyone who sent him a pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I will do that. Chris Connors is sending me one from Canada.
Wow.
He's like, oh, I've got one, but the shipping was like super expensive. So I was like, oh, don't send it. Like, don't put yourself out of pocket to send it to me. Like, really appreciate the gesture, but yeah, don't bankrupt yourself to send me a. I think the shipping was more than the pedal. I was like, that can't be right. They must be trying to rip you off.
That can be right. I know how much some of those go for, so that definitely can be right.
But yeah, and then apart from that, obviously with the job that I do and working for Boss in Europe, I've been doing some stuff for some new products. So some people might have seen the launch video for Boss GT1. That was me and my team. And it was the most stressful month of my entire life trying to get that product video sorted.
I was quite impressed. I mean, I can't speak for the product yet because I haven't seen it. Or I've seen it, but I haven't heard it or used it really. But
it's tricky because obviously you have to involve yourself and kind of delve into these products so much. It's difficult for me to kind of say, you know, I think I'd still be honest, but that I honestly do believe they are really, really good sounding little units, because I've been to 3 or 4 dealer meetings. We've taken them all across Europe. We've plugged them in. I've heard them plugged in loads of times live, straight into a PA, especially the GT1 straight into a PA. Sounds absolutely fantastic. So definitely worth checking it out, because I think for the money, £165, I don't think there's another multi-effects on the market that will have as in-depth PC or Mac editing, has a that bigger screen with a looper and the expression pedal. It's yeah.
We'll take really your good. Word for it for now, Matt, but I'm sure once we've heard it, we'll be overly critical.
I think it's kind of good, actually, if you guys are overly critical, because then it gives me a chance to answer some of the kind of trickier questions that some people might not necessarily ask.
Yeah.
If only there was a way for us to get one for demo.
Yeah,
I wish we had a contact.
If only we knew.
A reliable contact.
Someone. So we should cover it briefly, because Joe Brandon and I covered it and clearly had no idea what we were talking about. You've talked about the GT1 already, but... also, Boss launched the Katana series.
The Katanas, yes.
Which we talked about, and we did kind of pick them apart a little bit, and other people in the kind of Facebook group have been fairly critical of them.
Yeah, but has anyone actually tried one? I think that's exactly. always a difficult thing.
Exactly. We haven't tried them yet, so we don't know.
But I've had good feedback from kind of like people who own music stores, and they said they're really good, and you know, obviously I really like them, but they are effectively a replacement for the Cubes.
Okay.
So Cube 2040 and 80 are no more. I was going to say 60, but that was an old one. Microcube is still going to exist, and Cube 10 will still exist, and obviously the Street Cubes will, but this is like the first amp that's Boss branded rather than Roland branded.
And
we're kind of adding like more definition to the amp line. So you've got the Blues Cube, which is the clean, bluesier stuff. You've got the JC20, which is the super clean amp. You've got the AC series, your acoustic amps. You've got the busking amps. And now you've got Katana, which are the kind of more contemporary rock amps.
Yeah.
So 4 amp models, 2 crunch channels, 1 which is taken from the Wazer amp, or derived from the same sort of sound, which is the Brown sound. Yeah, clean, crunch, then like a lead, and then a Brown sound. And then you've got acoustic. Now, most people would think that's an acoustic simulator like the Cubes, but it's not. It's actually a dedicated input for an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And slightly changes the frequency response to give you more of an FR-FR style sound out of the speaker. So you get more of a dedicated flat response acoustic sound.
Could you use that for... just a thought. Could you use that for other things as well? If you're using... Sorry, for people listening.
Yeah, potentially.
Jay just managed to injure himself with his own headphones and hit the microphone at the same time.
Sorry, I just smacked my head on the shelf there.
He's so impressed by his amps.
He is.
He's just like...
Comedy moment for those watching and confusing moment for those listening. So yeah, Matt, could you use that the acoustic mode? Like you say, it's a kind of flat response in. Could you use that for other things as well? Like if you wanted to run a different amp modeler into the front end or something like that?
Yeah, you could do. I mean, if you go up to, so there's a 50, 100, 100, 212 and a head. And if you go up to the 100, you actually get an effects loop in there. So you could go effects loop return if you were using a different preamp, for example. But yeah, you could potentially, I mean, I haven't actually tried it, but you could plug a bass in or you could plug a keyboard in, because it slightly changes the way the speaker responds, kind of changes the EQ slightly. It's designed specifically for a kind of, to stop a piezo sounding so bright and to give you a more natural acoustic sound.
Yeah.
3 band EQ, 3 effects on top, or 6 effects on top, and you can actually edit all those, so you can plug it in. Use Boss Sound Studio. There's 55 effects. You can actually change what's physically programmed into the amplifier, which is kind of nice. You can actually set what you want all the buttons to do. And yeah, when you go up to the 212, you get the effects loop. You go into the head, you get MIDI control as well.
Oh, wow.
And then when you go into the bigger ones, you get the big foot controller. So the 100 and the 100-212, you can use the generic GAFC control, and it gives you manual mode and then 4 presets across the top. So, and believe me, loud, like super loud. I suppose the idea is that they've taken the speaker technology from the Wazer amps, because it's a brand new type of speaker technology, super efficient speakers, and even at max volume on say 50 watts or 100 watts, you get no clipping in the top end.
Yeah, I mean,
so you can run any of them down to half a watt, and then any of them up to 100.
And the little head also has a speaker built in for practice reasons on there.
Yeah. So I think the idea was that, like, if you use it kind of, you know, if you're backstage or something like that, you want something that you could potentially use it and then, you know, unplug it and have it backstage and have a little speaker in there. There's a little 5-inch speaker in there that you can use, which is 40 watts.
Yeah,
And it actually sounds all right. But I think for me, obviously, you kind of do get a bit blinded because you're selling that product, you're creating all the marketing for it, and you know, I've seen it from almost like day one, I suppose. And then we were at a dealer event in Madrid a couple of weeks ago, and there was a function band playing, and he was using the head on top of a 2x12 cab, and I'm almost certain that most people there, if they were just normal musicians, wouldn't be able to tell that I wasn't a Valve head.
Okay.
It sounded so convincing. I was like, yeah, that's pretty amazing.
We will reiterate that Matt Knight is a Roland Boss employee, and everything he says should be taken with a grain of salt. So
to contrast that, I was watching Soccer AM on Saturday, and the Coral were the band of the day, and they played a song to finish the show, and they were using Blues Cubes, and they sounded absolutely dreadful.
Really?
I mean, the band sounded dreadful. The guitars sounded not great. It could just be the fact that they probably didn't do a proper sound check because they were
on Soccer AM.
They were on Soccer AM at 10 o'clock in the morning for one song.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could well just be that. But it didn't sound very
good. It's funny, actually. I mean, I must admit, like, before I started, you know, I was unsure of some of these things. But the weird thing about, especially the Blues Cube, is that they sound better at louder volumes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
so many times I've heard it. Yeah, I mean, but so many times, because it's solid state, people think, oh, you can have it at lower volumes and it will still sound good, but you still need to kind of push the air out.
Yeah.
And actually, once I turned a couple up, they started to kind of sound much sweeter.
Well,
that's the nice thing about the Waza, not the Waza, the Katanas, is that you've got the power scaling on there, so unlike other power scaling, it works in a slightly different way. I mean, the engineers haven't really given me a technical view of it, but yeah, it does sound really nice at any of those levels as well.
Well, we shall see, Matty.
We'll review one, and I won't review it. I'll get it to one of you guys, and you guys can actually play it.
We'll give it a 1-star and you'll lose your job.
That's
and
then you could do guitar nerds full time.
Then you have to move back to Brighton and live on Jay's sofa, and everyone's happy.
And can
it's
I just
funny because always YouTube comments are always the one, but generally fairly positive for the products that I've had my hand in so far. So,
well, just wait for the guitar nerds review, mate. They're going to be terrible.
What's the just going back to the head, Matt, and is there a dummy load built in? You can use it without plugged into this, without having
it
plugged
into
the
solid state. So kind of
doesn't need a dummy load. Okay.
Yeah.
As soon as you unplug it from the cab, the internal speaker kicks in.
Okay.
Unless you put it into standby mode, there's also a standby mode for silent recording. So you can put it in that and it works.
Right.
Like
okay.
Normal.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Jay Cross, you've also been away.
I have.
Where have you been? For 2 whole weeks.
Three, actually.
Three whole weeks.
Three podcasts.
I think I've missed three because I was in Berlin for 1 week.
You were.
And then I was in the US for 1 week. And then I got back last Tuesday.
Yeah.
So. See you last Tuesday.
Yeah.
The cult of guitar nerds.
Indeed. Massive cult.
Absolutely. So, I'll cast my mind back 3 weeks to the middle of September.
So that was a time machine.
I was good. Yeah, no, it was good. I was in Berlin. And the reason I was in Berlin was I was at the IFA Consumer Electronics Trade Show.
Yeah.
Which you've been to.
We talked about it, I think, almost exactly a year ago. When I was there.
When you were there.
Yeah.
It was bonkers. It was completely and utterly bonkers.
Did you get lost in the bit where there's loads of fridges and microwaves and stuff?
Well, so I was there. So I work for a distribution company, and we distribute headphones. And one of our brand, there was two of our brands were there, and I was sort of based around one of them. I was spending some time with one of the others, and looking at the map, it didn't look that far.
No.
So we were based in booth in like hall 12. And the other brand was in hall 7. And I looked at the map and I was like, okay, so it's there to there. That's not so bad. I'll be able to figure that out. I'll just walk around. 20 minutes it took to go from hall 12 to hall 7.
Yep.
One of my colleagues had to go and see someone in hall 1. They had to get a bus.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's huge. Anyway, I was there and yes, there was like fridges and microwaves and I saw a booth where there was about five men stood selling women's epilators.
Okay.
Their booth was empty every time I walked past, unsurprisingly, because it was just five geezers there.
Yep.
Stood with an epilator.
Cool.
Not exactly the most inviting of booths.
What I like is when those booths, people buy a booth at those shows and they don't even, like they hire staff in who are not connected to the product.
Yeah.
They go there on day one, tell them a little bit about the product.
And then leave.
And then leave. Yeah. And just go, you know, out to the pubs or whatever. And then the people left on the stand are like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, why bother?
I know. It was very weird. But in general, it was very good. Secretly, the highlight of my time in Berlin was I went to Just Music, which is a really big...
Oh, did you go to the big one?
I did, yes.
The massive one? Yes. I went there, like, a week before you did.
Did you? Okay, so one of my colleagues who works in our Germany office does some work there occasionally. And he sort of gave me the tour, and so I got to see, like, behind the scenes and stuff like that. And it's vast. Again, very German in ways, in that, like, it was very well laid out, but it's in Berlin.
So when you say well German, you mean just really good?
Just really like efficiently done, but like also it's still a music shop. It's still a guitar shop at the end of the day. So like there were still bits that were like, you didn't think about this, did you?
Right.
So, you know, there was, but it was great. You walk in and the where you pay is on the ground floor.
Okay.
And then there's five stories above it, five floors above it.
Yeah.
And each floor has got a different type of music. So floor one is like, I think it was like DJ and
techno music.
Tech stuff. And then you go up and then it's like electric guitars and bass. And then you go up again and there's, you know, acoustic guitars and drums and again. And then on the top floor, there was a venue, a music venue that was like a 200 capacity music venue.
What?
And they had a cafe and they had a bar. And then off to the side, there was a roof terrace.
Nice.
But yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool. They had everything was all hooked up.
Did you go to the modular synth department?
I had a brief look.
If there's any city where you want to visit the modular
synth department, yeah.
It's in Berlin.
It was really cool. It was a very, very interesting place to be. Their custom shop section was locked away, it was only a flying visit, so I didn't feel like I could sort of go up and ask to be let in or anything like that. It was really cool. They had some sort of like custom amp switching system, which meant that there was 14 heads plugged in.
Okay.
At the same time, and you just went and 14. I think it was 14 heads and 7 cabs,
and you could
were
just
plugged
patch
in,
them
and you
in.
Could just.
Isn't there a?
Yeah, it was really clever that.
Doesn't someone make that, Matt? Isn't there like a? I'm sure there's a box that will do that.
It almost looked like a Pete Cornish unit. It's like this massive thing on drawers. But what was amazing about that was it's like a giant shelving unit, and all the heads are on pull-out drawers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can literally like pull it out, and then kind of like tweak it, and then plug the lead in. It was so impressive just to be able to like, oh, I want to hear it with like four different cabs.
Yeah.
It's like easy. But I actually thought the most impressive floor in that whole shop was actually the drum department. It's the only time I think I've ever walked into a drum department and gone, I really want to buy some drums. It just looks so good.
You're saying drums are a bit boring, really class.
Drums are well boring. Apart from the new Roland TD-50.
Of course. I mean, yeah, of course.
But it was so funny going from... So, to as a very quick segue, I went from Berlin. So, also, I don't know if I've... I can't have mentioned it on the podcast. I got the guitar that I've been talking about
yeah.
for, like,
finally,
nearly a year.
You did?
I finally was able to pick up the Fender American Standard Offset Telecaster that I have been talking about and really excited for months. And I finally was able to get it on the Sunday, but then that was the day that I went to Berlin. So like I went to the shop, did the finance and everything, played both the chords that I know how to play, and it was like, yeah, this is fine. Setup was a bit rubbish, but it's like, I don't have time to deal with that. It's fine, I'll sort it out myself. And by sort it out myself, I obviously mean fob it off onto someone else.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I went straight to Berlin, came home, was home for 2 days, and then we flew to the US. And I was in the US for 10 days. And what I did when I was in the US, which I've not had a chance to do when I've been in the past, was I went to a guitar center. And
they're pretty bonkers, aren't they?
Well, so they're always getting trashed on forums. And I mentioned it on the Guitar Nerds forum. I said, look, I'm going to go to the guitar center in Plymouth Meeting, which is just outside of Philadelphia.
America has really stupid places.
And I was
nice
like,
to meet in Plymouth.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm gonna go to the Guitar Center in Plymouth Meeting, and I just said, is there anything that, you know, to our American friends on the forum, is there anything that maybe we don't talk about that I should check out whilst I'm there? And all I got was a torrent of abuse for even. But the thing is that's why I wanted to go, because you know we've all worked in a shop which has a pretty dreadful on like reputation within the forum communities.
Well, not anymore.
Maybe not anymore.
But
I mean, that's sort of down to us.
No, almost. I don't think so. No, I just think people are like more positive. People are online. Not what I mean is forums now are not just people who want to go and slag everything.
No,
off.
Of There's course
people,
they're not.
You know,
of course.
Like on our
but
Facebook
that's,
group
but that's why I wanted to give Guitar Center a go, because I wanted to be like, look. You know, everybody used to come into our shop all the time and be like, oh, I heard that it was rubbish in here and everyone was really mean and that it was really bad, but you're all really nice. And it just used to, like, really make my day when someone would be like, I'm really glad that I came because it's really cool in here.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to give Guitar Center a go. And it was so rubbish.
Really?
It was so rubbish.
The one I went in was pretty good. Like, I went to Guitar Center on Hollywood Boulevard.
I mean, you were there during the NAMM show. Like,
No. When I was in... just when I went to LA.
Oh, okay.
And it was pretty good. Like, all the new stuff is pony, and it was laid out in a really pony way. Like, a really rubbish guitar shops. It looked like a Halfords, but with guitar stuff. For our American friends, that is a car and
bike shop,
spare shop. So it was kind of like that, and there was loads of, and I probably got asked maybe 15 or 20 times if I needed any help, and I was like, no, I'm just having a look for the moment, but I'll let one of you know if I need anything. And then, you know, but when you got through to the vintage section was a completely different part of the shop, and the way that it was laid out in the LA one was like an old barn. And so you got through this kind of really rubbish, like really salesy, you know, there was loads of like practice amps and loads of people playing guitar and stuff. Got through there and there was like a wall of like a glass wall type thing that you could slide open and go in, and it was just like a giant barn of really cool stuff.
Right. Like climate controlled and stuff like that, probably.
I don't know if, I mean probably, but it was just a really, it was just where all the vintage stuff was, and it was like really nice. And got chatting to a guy and said, like, I work in a shop, and yeah, I used to have one of those, I can't believe it's that much money now and stuff like that. Whereas the front of the house was like just kids, basically. Kids playing and kid salesmen and women. And that was crap.
Yeah, and that was kind of the vibe that I got from the Guitar Center that I went into. Now, granted, that where I went is, you know, and I'm not trying to grass anyone else or anything like that, you know.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It was a... You know, we were there on like a Tuesday afternoon or so, or Wednesday afternoon. You know, it wasn't prime, like, shop time. But, like, granted, we were left to our own devices. You know, no point did anyone come and hassle and try and sell us anything.
Yeah, that was my biggest problem, was the amount of hassle that I got while I was
there. Which was really cool. But, like, they had three Telecasters on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, it's not acceptable, is it?
I mean, three Fender Telecasters. The pedal selection would have been enough to make Matty weep. It was, honestly, it was so dreadful.
I mean, this is the weird thing, though. I mean, you know, we're used to, especially where we come from, you know, we kind of, like, ran a manager's store with kind of, like, 15, 20 people, and, you know, we kind of handpicked most of those people. Just looking here, they own 269 stores across America. And they employ over 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way there's 10,000 decent guitar salesmen out there.
I think
that's the difficult. Yeah, is the difficult thing, and that it's. I'm sure there's some great ones, but I'm sure there's also some terrible ones as well.
Yeah.
But it was quite an experience. Like great merchandise selection. Like you could get a really nice. Grateful Dead mouse mat.
It's probably the best way to make money.
I'm sure it is where
the most margin
is. I've no doubt, but so it was very funny. It was very funny that I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try to see all this new cool stuff, and it was just like it was really disappointing actually. But there we go. You know, that's just how it works sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to the Whole Foods over the road, and it was wicked.
Had a good selection. I take it.
Great selection.
Yeah. Go on, Matt.
I was gonna say. Because obviously next week, which I'm sure we're going to mention later, is quiz week.
It is.
The week after that, I'll be away in Japan. So I'm going to do a Facebook. I'm going to try and do some Facebook Live in some guitar shops in Japan.
Yes.
But I thought we should try and add some sort of like finding challenge, some sort of like treasure hunting challenge. Try and have to find something. So I want people in the Facebook group to try and suggest something weird that I need to find.
Dan
in
Electro
Japanese
Mini
guitar
Pedals.
Shop. Dan Electro Mini. Loads of them. Of Dan Electro Mini Pedals.
Can you bring me back a Japanese N64 and all of the professional wrestling N64 games that you can find that work on it?
I can certainly try.
Okay, I'll pay good money
I'm
for that.
I'm just going to take an empty suitcase and just wheel it back full of stuff.
I tell you what you do tend to see a lot coming from Japan is RE201s. Maybe you should just like buy a load of RE201s, mate, and then just bring them.
Imagine if I just found
one.
Matty's hooky RE201s. Are you gonna have access to the Roland factory and be like, these ones didn't fall off the back of no lorry.
I'm kind of hoping that we might get to go to the museum
get some pictures and stuff. That sounds good.
Yeah,
definitely. Shall we? I just realised we're 35 minutes into this podcast.
Oh, this is like an old style.
I know. This is a proper
ramble cast.
Rambler, I'm a gambler.
Just to go back to what I was saying a minute ago, though. So
I was trying to segue into news.
I know you were, but just to go back to bring it back onto topic with the guitar. So I bought that guitar. I went to Berlin, was home for 2 days in which I was super busy because I just had to do like loads of washing and stuff. Was in the US for 10 days. I've been back for 7 days. I've still only spent maybe across that 7 days, I reckon I've had maybe 2 hours playing the guitar. Nice. I've had no time whatsoever.
And one of the other, I think, is it Chris on the
there's
Facebook
a few, there's a few people that have got one.
A lot of people complaining about the setup on the guitar.
Yeah.
Which you're also having problems with.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the setup was, the setup of mine is not great whatsoever. It's, you know, it's one of those things where we've spent years basically just being like, because that's a common complaint with Fender is, oh, you know, the factory setup's really bad. I'm always like, it's not, the factory setup is great.
Yeah,
the factory setup on this was so bad.
Yeah,
one of the worst playing guitars I've ever taken out of a box.
I played it like briefly when you were in Germany and yes. We were here recording, and yeah, it's so bad.
It's yeah, it's really bad. But I mean, the thing is that like it's got tens on it and it's in standard tuning. When I get half an hour, I'm gonna stick 11s on it and knock it down to E flat. Yeah. So at the end of the day, the factory setup doesn't make any odds to
no.
me. And you know, I can understand why some people might get a bit annoyed about it.
Yeah.
Because you know, it is a lot of money, but at the same time, it's got to be transported across an ocean. And, you know, it was probably a month from leaving the factory.
Well, and also, I mean, you didn't collect it from the warehouse.
Absolutely,
that
absolutely, I didn't. Absolutely.
6 months
so
or something.
No, it wasn't that long at all. It was, it came into stock, it was maybe 6 weeks, might have been 2 months. It was okay. Quite a while. But, you know, it could have been sat there for 3 months.
Yeah.
After getting the initial setup. So, you know, and it's just a setup. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you buy it from a shop, they'll sort it out for you. They offered to sort it out for me, but I didn't have time because I had to go to Berlin.
You need to get it in ship shape, because yesterday I created a document called Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year 2016. And I've got a feeling that we might want to test that out with a decent setup to see if it's in the running or not.
Holy moly.
Yeah, very exciting exciting times. There's been a lot of chatter in the Facebook group about the Gear of the Year spreadsheet is made. The email's gone out to manufacturers. What is your Gear of the Year? There will be a listener's choice category again this year. So, and viewer's choice now. A lot of people watch this on YouTube. So if you want to submit don't submit it yet. Keep an eye on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. And wait, is it Guitar Nerds Group or Guitar Nerds Forum?
Guitar Nerds Forum.
I'm really confused today. And that's pretty soon there'll be a poll up there, or you'll be allowed to submit your Gear of the Year, and then we'll see what's been getting the most nominations, and then we'll put it into a vote, and that will be the listener's choice.
Is the are the new Gibsons going to be available by then?
Well,
we know?
This is what we need to find out. We need to speak to Joe Branton and see whether he knows when they're going to be arriving.
Because
some of them arrived?
I think some of them have arrived, so we need to go and try some stuff.
Yeah, I know you talk trash on it, but I'm
we
really looking... I'm we really
didn't.
Well, actually, maybe I...
We didn't talk trash.
No, the Firebird Zero. You went into it.
I think...
I did listen to the one... From when I was in Berlin, I listened to that one, and that was the one when the 2017s got announced. So I haven't had a chance to talk about them at all. But those Firebird Zeros, I think they look amazing.
They're different
for the money.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's
£500.
I think that is something very, very cool for not a huge amount of money. I think that's wicked.
Okay, we can talk about this closer to the time once we've tried one before Gear of the Year.
I was going to say, before we finally went into news, we got loads of stuff, more pedals delivered, didn't we? Didn't you get more pedals delivered?
Yeah, a few bits, and you've got some Bright Onion stuff to talk about. But I think we'll do that. Let's talk about the new stuff more closely next week. We should move on into some news.
News.
That was half-assed. I did it really well last week.
Sorry.
When I was on my own.
News.
That was okay.
I don't have the drive the quirky drive that Joe Branton does.
That's true. He's very quirky.
I mean, he's only got one job.
So
you know.
Big bit of news that I haven't actually put in our running order for this evening, Matt. So I hope you've prepared for it. It was just dropped into my inbox as I was setting up for the podcast. Line 6 Spider 5.
Yeah, I don't actually. I have got some info, but not the world's greatest info.
Okay, well, hit us with what you know.
Wireless, apparently.
You don't even have to plug it into the mains.
You don't. Yeah, no, you have to plug it into the mains. Yeah, it just hovers. Okay. No, wireless input, not included in the box, but. So obviously NAMM this year they released the G10, which was the little bug with the quarter inch jack on it that plugged straight into a box. It charged it, you unplugged it, plugged it into your guitar, and it automatically connected. This has got the same technology in it, so the receiver is built into the amp. So if you buy a G10, you can buy the transmitter,
but
plug it into the amp charges it, you unplug it, plug it into your guitar, and it transmits.
But
it
doesn't
the
receiver come with the G10, so why wouldn't you just plug the receiver into an amp?
I think you can now buy the transmitter separately, so if you've got several guitars you can have several transmitters because it works on digital.
Yeah, but
obviously it,
you could still plug
it.
The receiver into the amp.
I know.
That doesn't make any sense. Anyway,
that's why you always buy a Boss Katana.
No. That's enough of your shilling.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it looks like some of the bits are loaded onto their website, actually.
Yep.
I mean, from what I heard, not a huge amount of difference to the 4. Still works on the same way that they have done before, but I think now it's got inbuilt jam tools as well.
Okay.
Like there's Line 6 Spider Jam, because, you know, that's what you need in an amp. Sorry, I know
I'm
being
harsh. Listen
I'm
to him. Bring your impartiality back, mate. Come
on. He's tearing
on.
Down the competition.
No. So you've got inbuilt recording, I think. Jamming along to tracks. Cubase. You can edit it via mobile. Wireless receiver. Acoustic specific settings.
Okay.
100 presets that you had before. And they've changed the size of the lineup now. I think the 15 is still the Spider 4, but I think the Spider 5 is now like 3 or 4 more powerful amplifiers.
Okay.
I'm trying to find the actual
details. I mean, like I said, this dropped into my inbox as we were setting up the equipment for the podcast. So.
I mean, I saw one picture, and the picture that I saw appeared to have the sort of aesthetics of the Firehawk. I saw the same sort of colours, coloured lights blinking in. I hope that they've, because I we talked about this when the Firehawk and the Helix was released, didn't we? Well, I think I was the one playing devil's advocate, saying like, I think this is cool because people seem really into, like, I've had a little bit of time with the Helix and I thought it was a really great piece of kit. Not something that I'm that bothered about, in terms of it being a multi-effects, but for what it was, I thought that it seemed like a very, very cool piece of gear. Now, I seem to remember us saying, like, wouldn't it be good if they took that and put it into the Spiders, which we all have always thought were a little bit lackluster, let's put it that way.
I think they've just been out for it. I think Spider 4 has been out for something like
it's got to be 10 years.
No, not 10 years. Not 10 years.
I mean,
really?
I've got a little bit of a rundown here. I mean, yeah, picture-wise, they look like a lot of the front panel is taken from kind of like, the Firehawk, and the same with the new foot controller, which I think's got all the different coloured lights on it.
Yeah.
So they're doing a Spider 30, so in the 5 series, a 30, a 60, a 120, and a 240. In order 8, 10, 12 or 212 speaker cabs. Each one's got a full range tweeter in it. They've all got USB audio interface. They all support the new foot controller. They've all got drum loops and they've all got a metronome. And the 60, 120 and 240 have all got a looper and the wireless inputs.
Right.
And the really big ones have got DI outs, like XLR DI outs.
Okay.
Apart from that, the actual front panel is relatively the same. 78 amps, 23 cabs and 100 effects.
I think it
programs in the same sort of way. Bass, middle, treble, volume, screen. So the home screen, I think, is taken from like the Helix. It looks a little bit similar to the way it did the Helix, but I think the actual setup is the same as a Spider 4.
Is there
by the looks of it.
Did you say there's in-app editing?
Yes, I think there's in-app editing on mobile.
Okay.
So there'll be Bluetooth, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it sounds interesting.
And I think all of them have got a screen. But yeah, no, it's the 20th anniversary of Line 6 this year, apparently. So
yeah.
Although I can't even imagine that then the Spider-4's being like 6 or 7 years old, because that means that they would have had to.
It was definitely
come out right at the beginning, did it?
It was definitely the fours when I started working in the shop in 2009.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. They must have been fairly new at that point.
Right.
I think. Yeah. So I think it sounds interesting. I mean, what do you do with a Line 6 Spider? They are what they are. So
yeah.
You add things that are pushing the tech forward, and, you know, in-app editing and stuff, which they don't think they had on the four.
Well, I mean, you say that. I think what they should have done, really, is they should have put the effects. Hopefully, they've put the sounds from the Helix. And, you know, of course, the Helix is £1,000. So, you know, but you just don't put all of the editing effects in there, and you don't put all the processing in there. But you put, like, that's what, you know, you've got to build that sort of range, and you've got to give, it's got to have like a level of cohesion.
Sure.
Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, they're just going to run back into the same thing that they've always done, which is, oh, look, you know, think about like the DL4. The DL4 would have been, if another company had produced that, it would have been massive. But because it was Line 6 and everyone was like, this is a company that makes spiders, this is going to be rubbish, loads of people never bothered with it.
But,
you know, and that's the problem.
I think you're underestimating what putting the sounds from the Helix actually involves.
Sure, you know, and I'm not saying that they should just rip out the PCB and pop it straight in or anything like that, but,
well,
you know,
they couldn't. I don't think it will be, if I'm being perfectly honest. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, because obviously when the new Variaxes came out, the Variax, the James Tyler Variaxes were actually the same sounds as the Variax 3.6. No,
seven.
Yeah, the 3.6 and 700.
Yeah,
but the processor was just twice the power.
Yeah,
so the actual algorithms were the same. So I wouldn't be surprised if the algorithms in this are the same. There's just slightly better processing power behind it.
Yeah, I think I need to hear them. Really,
yeah,
as we always say, we need to hear this stuff. But I'm quite impressed by the features list. The wireless stuff, not that fussed about. I think that is stupid. They're doing it because they can. But
I don't think that's necessarily. I think that's quite cool that they're doing it because
they
can.
But you still have to.
What if you want to use effects pedals?
Well, yeah. Well, you don't need to, because you've got how many effects you say you're in there? 124.
100.
Okay, 100 effects. How many can you need?
Well, I mean, Matt's probably got about 100 effects, so it's fine. Let's move on. We're almost at up at time. We've only got 10 minutes or so left, so let's do the rest of the news. I'm thinking for the Patreon episode, we got loads of questions while you guys are away, so maybe we should do those in the Patreon.
Okay.
We can talk about that in a minute. So first other bit of news this week, Free the Tone have announced the Ambispace digital reverb. Now, Free the Tone are a company that we've covered before. We did their Tritone Chorus, was that right, Matt?
Yeah. Tri-Avatar
Chorus, which sounded immense. What's the Ambispace?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I always love about Free the Tone is that they say all their products feature HTS, Holistic Tonal Solution.
Yep.
Which I love. I have no idea what it means, but it's just a brilliant way of phrasing it. I mean, the chorus pedal's amazing, the delay pedal's amazing. So this one, the reverb, basically uses a really high-bit processor, so a 32-bit processor, which I think is more powerful than what's currently in the Strymon's.
Wow,
as far as I'm aware. I think the Strymon, I'm going to have to just check this before I go any further. I'm pretty sure the Strymon Big Skies are 24-bit. But I should probably be right before I
so
go
this,
any further.
So this essentially will mean kind of cleaner, longer, more natural
sounding
reverbs.
Yeah, so I think the idea is that the more powerful the processor, the I think they're 24. I'll have to do some proper looking into it. But the idea is obviously the more powerful the processor, the more powerful you can make the algorithm. So the more detailed you can make the reflections in the reverbs, and the more you can kind of add in.
Yeah.
Going back to like old rack reverbs, like a friend of mine in Brighton, a guy who runs the Pro Audio store, has got an old Roland Reverb from the 80s, and like you can actually hear like proper, if you put it on a full stereo speaker system, you know, like four speakers in the studio, you can actually hear like reflections behind you and to the left and to the right, and you can alter that.
Wow.
And by adding more processing on a pedal just means you can kind of do a more detailed sound like that. So especially with these sort of things and that sort of processor, it's going to sound best recorded and in stereo. Still going to work in mono, but I think ultimately the problem with running really high quality reverbs like that in mono is that you want to add more wet mix into it, and then the problem is you don't cut through very much. And I think actually there was a question, potentially I think there was a question in the podcast questions about it, or someone certainly posted it on the Facebook group earlier about
reverbs. No, that we're not talking about it on the podcast, but he was talking about like wet and dry mixes, wasn't he?
But effectively this will allow you to, what they call a dual core 32 processor, will basically give you super high quality reverbs that are similar to the old rack units, because even rack units from the 80s now, some of the reverbs and delays still sound absolutely amazing. Four presets like the other three, the tone pedals, six different types of reverb. I don't know if there's MIDI on this one, because there was MIDI on some of the other ones. I'd imagine they've probably kept that in there. But the idea is that all of the original sounds pass through an analog dry mixer as well, so you get really decent quality mix, and I think you get proper spillover as well, and just great. You know, we just know it's going to sound good. I think that's the thing. Because the chorus, I mean, I'm not the world's biggest fan of chorus, but I do like a more subtle chorus. The Triavatar did everything from kind of subtle to extreme to kind of some of the more wobbly sort of vibrato stuff. And the one thing I love about them is they just look really good. This one's like in a faux wood paneling, which I think looks kind of neat.
The Triavatar looked like something off like a Russian submarine or something, didn't it? It was like
Flight time, which is their delay, looks like the, and they obviously never mention it, but it looks like the panel from the DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Oh, nice, amazing.
Which they definitely thought of when they were designing it. I'm sure they were I should base it on that. I think it's called Spring Room, Plate Hall, Cave, and Serene.
Okay, the tri chorus allowed you to have, it had like three outs, didn't it? Can you have a left and a right and a dry out?
No, I think this, by the looks of it, is stereo in, stereo out.
Okay.
As far as I can tell. But they do some cool stuff. They do a cool switching system. I was actually looking at their switching systems. They do some cool switching systems with MIDI. And they do a lot of single pedals as well. So maybe we should contact them and get them to send us some stuff. Because I've tried a couple of their distortions, and they're also just really good. Just nice, well thought out, high quality, really crisp and really clean.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some people want now. I mean, there's some reverbs out there that purposely sound a little bit distorted and a little bit crunchy and kind of don't have the top end detail, and this is to give you the super classy, super high end sound.
I guess a lot of people are moving away from that kind of 80s crisp and clean reverb, but this is going back very much the other way.
I think actually, and I think this is what we're going to start seeing, is that reverb, big reverb pedals and like multi reverb pedals, things like this are going to overtake delays. Because I think now, looking at a lot of the like kind of pedal board forums, people are like more focused on having loads of different reverbs than they are having loads of different delays.
Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of that comes from kind of, I mean, a big kind of push forward in this is like the worship scene in America.
Yeah.
Those guys have like big pedal boards. They have like really, they're kind of really focused on some of the bigger ambient sounds. And a lot of that comes from reverbs.
We all know the voice of God is just a big, a big reverb. And the big shimverb, that's what I was talking about. That is the voice of God. So that's why the praise and worship scene is into these.
I mean, and that's the thing. Strymon have kind of been the only one on the market. So it's time for kind of guys like this to put it on there. It's funny that like Line 6 never obviously had the DL4 and the FM4. They never did a reverb.
Never did a reverb. I know, it is very interesting, isn't it?
It wasn't really, at the time, those pedals were, I think, so far ahead of their time. I don't think there was much thought put into any of it. It was just like, and from reading like the manuals of those back in the day, I remember they just called up their mates and went, right, what pedals have you got?
Yeah.
Can we just model those? And that's what ended up in the pedal. So maybe they just couldn't get enough reverb pedals together.
It is funny though, you touch on it there, Matty, the fact that the, you know, other than the Big Sky, there sort of hasn't really been anything else that, you know, you've seen on a lot of these pedalboard forums as like the go-to delay, you know, go-to reverb. You know, that with the delays, you always had, you know, either the timeline or the time factor, or the space, or the DD 500, or, you know, there was a whole host of big delay pedals. But reverb, it's the Big Sky's kind of been out there by itself a little bit, and
it is
cool to see somebody else doing something similar. With, by the sounds of things, the processing power of like a gaming PC.
I mean, not quite,
but like you say, it was like
32-bit.
Don't equate that.
It's a PlayStation.
It doesn't work. It's not the same thing. I knew you were going to say that.
It's a PS2.
It's not a PS2. Anyway, now you're playing with power.
The Big Sky's been out for a little while now, and ultimately, yeah, I've just double checked, it is a 24-bit processor.
Right.
So ultimately, processors do go out. They do get upgraded.
Yep.
So is it going to start falling behind? Is there going to be another one? Do Strymon feel the need? They need to make another one. I mean,
it's the reverb wars. Who will come out on top? Let's do one last bit of news, actually, talking about another reverb. Earthquaker Devices have announced the Transmisser Resonant Reverb. So I guess more of the same, Matty.
Yeah, well, basically the opposite end to the kind of big ambient reverb, in sense of kind of like super crystal clear delay. This is a reverb that they've said, look, isn't going to give you the traditional spring sound. It's not going to give you the plate sound. This is effectively a modulated reverb. Because it's digital, you can sort of create a reverb algorithm. It doesn't have to sound like a spring. It doesn't have to sound like a plate. You can just create reverb as an algorithm and change it. This reverb runs through a resonant filter.
Okay,
to give you basically like really weird metallic vocal reverbs that just sound bizarre.
So for people who don't know what resonant filter is, I guess like it's like a vowelizer, really. Like it shapes the tone as if.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know how you'd really describe it, but yeah, you're kind of going through like specific EQ. filters, I suppose.
Usually like quite mid-range pronounced. That's how I'd
I talked about it before when I had one, the Boss Spectrum, which is a one-band EQ, like a cocked wah sound. Effectively, you're putting your reverb through that same filter.
Yeah.
But you can adjust that resonant filter. But the thing about resonant filters is they can feed back, so you can get some really odd sounds out of it. And it's funny how like as soon as this was announced, people were like, I've got to buy one. And it's amazing how that kind of scene, especially with kind of things like reverb pedals, as soon as the new one's announced, everyone's like, even before they've heard it, it's like, I've got to buy it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think people are doing, because with delays now, I suppose everyone wants an analog delay, and there's only so much you can do with an analog delay unless you do what Chase Bliss Audio are doing and making an analog delay that's digitally controlled.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it's you've got to make a reverb pedal, but you can, because it's digital, you can kind of do anything you want with it, because analog reverb is a physical spring tank or a physical plate. So by making a digital reverb, you can kind of do whatever you want. You can make it as weird and as wacky as you want, but with an analog delay, there's only, I think, so much you can physically control.
Yeah.
Have Earthquaker done a reverb? I don't think they have, have they?
Yeah, they've got quite a few.
I knew there was a load of delays. I didn't know there was a...
No, they've done a couple of reverbs.
I'm sure they've brought out a few and then discontinued them as well. Okay. It seems to be their way, so...
But this... I mean, they've got what? Decay, darkness, frequency, warp, rate, and mix. So...
Classic reverb controls, you know.
Warp,
the classic.
But that's the thing. There's a lot of companies out there who are doing that sort of thing. I think, you know, Catlin Bread recently had the bicycle delay, which is their kind of like randomly skipping delay. Obviously, we've tried things for Maleco, and we've talked about the Charlie Foxtrot and things like that, granulizers and like bit crushers, all that sort of thing is starting to become like way more mainstream.
Yeah, definitely. We're up at an hour. We're up at the end of the podcast, basically, because I think because we've not really even seen or spoken to each other. I mean, I see Jay every day, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But Matt, we've not had much time to catch up. So, bit of a weird episode tonight. We're kind of catching up. This is like a window into just what we talk about.
What we
normally
actually just talk about.
Yeah, which is guitar stuff. So the episode actually is not that different to normal, I guess. But
no.
Thanks for sticking with us if you stuck through to the end of this episode. It's been a bit of a weird one. Lots to talk about, loads of news, but also just a, you know, bit of a catch up. What it does mean is that we got loads of questions submitted. We're going to go and answer those over in the Patreon episode. Patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 every month, you will get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds every week, plus access to the back catalogue, which, as we said earlier, is up to 35 hours, something like that, 40 hours. So loads to listen to, and occasional interviews with people from the gear world as well. More of those to come. We've got some good ones lined up. So yeah, patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you sign up for the $10 tier, you become one of our executive backers, like these people have.
Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha, Andrew Macrow, Mark Cross, JD Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moo Gravit, Colin Anderson.
I put some actual music under that last week because there was no one here to assist me. And I think it came out better, way better.
Cool.
So we should maybe have a button. It's hard to do it live.
Yeah.
I do it in the when we record it, I can put some music underneath. So
yeah.
Anyway,
a drum machine.
Indeed. Yeah, maybe we should just get a drum machine, little drum machine. Matt, I'm sure you could sort us out. I'm sure Boss still make one, or Roland make one.
Oh, yeah, we make loads.
Yeah, let's get a little drum machine. Can we just replace Joe with a drum machine? Or like one that's got Joe sound
maybe,
clips on it?
Maybe, yeah, just a sound
never
bar.
Have to see him again.
Can we have that and like a Will Helm scream on there?
Yeah. Head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds for all that stuff. If you want to join in the conversation, you can watch us live every Tuesday night from 8:30 UK time on amply.fi/guitar nerds. You can join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can chat with all the other people on there. There's podcast listeners, there's people who have absolutely no idea that we do a podcast, people that have joined us from the YouTube channel and stuff. So good conversation on there always. Follow us on Twitter @GuitarNerds, on Instagram @GuitarNerds. Go to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/GuitarNerdsVideos. And you can join us individually @Mark_Random, @Matt_Nightsy, @JAYBM1, and something else, I guess. @TheDonald. That's probably preferable, right? Anyway, join us next week, or join us on the Patreon, where we're going to do all the questions. Join us next week, where, I guess, will you guys be here?
I will.
You'll be here.
Yeah, no, we're doing the quiz next week.
Quiz. It's the quiz next week. Oh, it's going to be good.
How are we going to do it?
Well, Matt's going to ask the questions on the internet and we're going to answer them.
Yeah.
It's going to be bloody brilliant.
I was thinking today, I can make it really visual. I could show stuff to the camera, but I can't because obviously it's not fair for the people who aren't watching live.
Exactly.
So it will still be all audio.
Good.
No visuals required.
It's the big quiz next week.
Big quiz.
We'll see you then.
The third quiz?
Quiz number three, who will win? We'll find out next week. Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.